You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dr. Mahaffey, good to see you this morning. You guys give Dr. Mahaffey a big hand, would you, right here?
It's good to see him.
And appreciate you all being here. And this cold Sunday morning, you guys, thank you for all your prayers. Many of you know kind of where we're at or what we've been dealing with. Some of you may not. So I just kind of give you just a little background. But the last 45 days, you know, Bess had surgery, and everybody in our family has had the flu but me, and which is good. That's a good thing. That's not a good thing. They've been all sick, but then the last about 40 days, Titus has been dealing with a headache, and so I know many of y'all are going to ask, so I'm just letting you know, but the headaches have intensified, and we've been in the ER, for, I think, four or five times, and he's been admitted, I think, twice, and 2 weeks ago, he was in for like 6 days, and then this week, he was in again. So we don't know any answers yet, so just so you know, symptoms are a lot, much the same, And you know, the good news is when they run an MRI and a CAT scan and an ultrasound and everything else they've done, he checks out. So that's good, but the symptoms are still the same. So what's been very, very refreshing is that many of you have just honored us and helped us. And some of you all, how can we help? And, you know, and I just want you to know, we really feel your support and your prayers, and I just want you to know how much we appreciate you in this Shelter Church. So thank you. Thank you for that. For a while now, we've been meeting on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. prayer. And any of y'all are welcome. If you want to show up, after you show up, I'll put you on a text thread and keep you up to date with, you know, our meetings and stuff. But we've been meeting, and there's been a band of prayer people meeting here at 6 a.m., and it's been awesome. Out of that 6 a.m., we've also been calling the church to it, what we call the 15-minute protocol. Some say, Ryan, what are you doing? Well, 15 minutes. Well, 15 minutes is more than most of us spend anyways, right? So we're calling you to 15 minutes, and what happens is when you begin to spend 15 minutes a day with the Lord, that 15 minutes becomes 30, and that 30 minutes becomes more, because once you get into it, you just crave it and long for it. So I'm challenging you, and I'm keeping this in front of you, the 15-minute protocol. We're calling everyone to spend at least 15 minutes a day with the Lord. And you know what? We've said 15 minutes at least 4 to 5 times a week. And I believe as a community and as a church, as we begin to pray and seek God, we are going to continue to see even greater things, okay? Here's what's awesome. Since we've been doing this, the Lord has answered numerous prayers within the church. And I can go through a litany, and I will one day. I'll spend time going through and just talking about what God is doing and what I see from this bird's eye view that I'm in of how God is moving and God is working and God is growing and challenging us as a church and moving us forward. Here's what's also really cool about this is that I usually know that I'm on the right track when there is significant upheaval. And so since we've been doing this and leaning into this, we are seeing upheaval. We're seeing things, a pushback, you know, and it's not from people. It's from life circumstances and situations. And then the Lord, you know, through my prayer and time, the Lord has called me, and we mentioned some of this, and we didn't get into all of it on the New Year's Eve night service, but we're talking about a 2020 vision, no pun intended, but the 2020 vision, right? Talking about that 2020 vision and how we believe the Lord is calling us to double it. A double share, a double portion. Call it a double vision. I don't care what you call it. But I believe that God is wanting us and calling us and moving us to begin to seek Him for a double share, a double portion. And I've been like, Lord, what is this? Is this just because I long to see double the people, double the life change, double the resources, double the volunteers, double the giving. No, that's not it. I believe what God is calling us is, and I'm going to get more into this, what this double in it means, all right? That's what this message here today is about. But I can tell you that I believe we're on the right track. I believe that I'm on the right track. Chris hit me up about 6 months ago. We went to Canada with Jim Strumberger, back in the back here. And we went to Canada, and I took the boys. We went fishing. We had this little, it was awesome, this fly-in, and 30 people fished this lake in the previous year. No one was there. It was this remote place, and it was just an incredible experience. And in that time, Chris, we were talking about the church, and Chris says to me, Ryan, what were we doing in the very beginning? Okay, what were we doing when the Lord called us to this? Because we were praying for direction and asking God to see what the Lord would have of us. And what he called us to was prayer from the very beginning. And I believe, and that's why we're calling the church to continue to prayer. And here's the deal. No matter what is thrown our way or what's thrown my way, I ain't stopping. I ain't shrinking back. I ain't going to stop leaning in and doing whatever I need to do to fulfill what God has called me to do. Right on? Right on. That's where we're at as a church, and I believe that this is right on in terms of the message. And to be honest, there was a, you know, in the past week, I've been thinking, oh God, how am I going to preach on Sunday? I don't, you know, my mind, when you're pulling into Children's and you're going to get the test results that a lot of people get, you know, that and you don't know where they're going. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't feel sometimes like preaching or working. But here's what I know. What I know is the Lord wants us to double down on our efforts. When things aren't right, we all have the voices in our head. This just isn't worth it. This is too much to bear. Where is God in this? This situation does not look good. And there's a temptation sometimes to crawl back in the hole and put the covers over your head and not move forward. Are you with me here today, folks?
Yes.
My hope is that we will not shrink back, that we all would better understand what God wants to do and what he means by this idea, this word. I believe it's a word. Pastor Schooler used to talk about a word. He has a word from the Lord, and I don't say that lightly. The word for the Lord, I believe, the word for us is to begin to seek him for a double portion, a double share. I believe that God wants us to pray and to seek him to double it. All right, so let's look at where the source is and all this. If you were here New Year's Eve, you've heard a little bit, but I'm going to expand upon it in full, okay? So here's where I came up or where I see this. 1 Kings 19 through 20, we see it in the passage of Elijah and Elisha, okay? So it says in verse 19, so Elijah went and found Elisha. All right, and he's plowing in the field, and there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him, and he threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. And Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. And Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you, right? So this whole idea is, first of all, there's these two guys, Elijah, who's a prophet, and Elisha. And Elijah knew that his time was running, drawing near, right? And God was calling Elijah to go and to find his double, all right? To find his double, right? To find who it was that was going to pick up after Elijah passed on or moved on. So Elijah heard of this Elisha. God spoke to him in a vision, and Elijah goes and he sees Elisha, and Elisha was a worker. He was plowing. He was getting dirty. He was moving forward, right? And Elijah put his cloak around him, his mantle around him, and basically called Elisha to be his double, right? Now, I mean, this is And so we see this all throughout Scripture. We see how God wants us to double ourselves. And I'm working on that in a lot of ways in terms of meeting, giving, you know, Ashton speaks at least once or twice a month. We got other people, young leaders. We got Stivers now here, Brand. We got different things going on. And here's the deal. We are trying to pour into people and double, right? Double our leadership and mentor and raise up additional folks. And you know what? Here, let me just kind of share this with you. All right. I think this is one of the greatest modern-day handoffs of all time, right? We see a modern-day picture of this Elijah. All right, let's look at it right here. I got a picture of it. You see it? Right there. All right, you have Urban Meyer raising up Ryan Day. I mean, wasn't this a pretty picture-perfect handoff? And then Urban sees Ryan Day, and he runs up and puts his cloak around Ryan Day and raises Ryan Day up, you know? And here's the thing. You see, we saw witnesses. Even though they didn't win the national championship, there was an incredible season, and Ryan Day, I think you would admit, did a fantastic job, did he not? Now, there's another picture, and don't show it yet. Don't show it yet, all right? There's another picture of a situation where there wasn't a great transition or a great handoff. And when you don't have a great handoff, things go south. They sour. And we see this picture. You can show it now. This is what it looks like when you don't have the right handoff. Is that fair? Right? I mean, we have Dr. Mahaffey in the house. He's our district superintendent. And you see this all the time, right? Pastors who aren't doubling their efforts and, you know, and then they put in a role and they don't have a sponsor. They don't have someone that's kind of mentored them. And you get that. There's goofier ones. Just Google goofy pictures of Jim Harbaugh. All right. And there's all kinds of them. All right. So here's what it looked like in Elijah's day, right? Let's look at Elijah. There it is. So there's Elijah, the old geezer. He comes up, puts his mantle around Elisha, raising Elisha up, right? And you see this as an incredible handoff, right? And you know, you can go back through. We'll look at, well, let me just hang with it just for a second. Here's the deal. All of us needs to find a double. This is something that we should be working on. Who is your double? Here's the truth. We before we find our double, we have to have, and I want you to hear this, right? Before you can find your double, you have to have a reason for someone to want to double you or be your double. You hear what I'm saying? You can't just, you know, not have any reason. People have to, they've got to be drawn to you. So today, I want to go back and look at what this doubling means. When we pray for a double share or a double portion, I believe that God wants to double something in you so that when people look at you, they aspire to be like you. There are a handful of men in this church that my boys text and call and look forward to seeing. Titus has asked, I think, last 2 weeks, over and over and over, can I go to church on Sunday? Can I go to church on Sunday? He wants to be at church. Why is that? Because there are people that, like you, that pour into him, right? When Tyne killed his deer this year, his big monster deer, and he makes fun of me because I just cure these little Bambies, and he has this big old deer that he killed this year. He was in his tree stand texting and calling many of you. Why? Because there's something in you that he sees and wants to be like. Let's go back, and I want to just look at, let's look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 through 13. So Elisha is following Elijah. All right, Elisha has heard all the stories. He's hearing the story. He's hearing the great exploits and the miracles that Elijah experienced. And he sees Elisha, his demonstration of faith, and he sees how he interacts and his ministry and his boldness. Elisha sees that. And he sees his relationship with God, right? And so we get to 2 Kings chapter 2, and Elijah is about ready to depart. And we get to verse 9 in chapter 2, 2 Kings, and it says this: when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." Now, here's the truth. Life, folks, is very short. We don't know how long we have. And at some point, we are all going to be taken to the other side. Right on? And this is, Elijah says, "Tell me what I can do before you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a what? Double share of your spirit and become your what? Successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." Now, what's interesting about this is Elijah says this is a difficult thing. This is a difficult thing you're asking. Why is it a difficult thing? It's a difficult thing because Elisha is asking for more than what Elijah can give. Think about that. He's asking for double of what Elijah has. So verse 11, "As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, 'My father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel.' And as they disappeared from the sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress." Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan. And folks, you're going to see, but it was almost as if, no, you know what? Not almost as if. It was, this is what happened. As Elijah was taken up to be with the Father, God took Elijah's mantle. And that was symbolic of the double portion that was given to Elisha. See, here's the deal. Nobody, only God is able to give way of more of him. In order for us to receive more, in order for us to receive a double share, in order for us to receive his favor and blessing, it is not ours to give. It's not ours to manufacture. It only comes by way of seeking and asking of God. Are you with me today? Does that make sense? It does to me. So double it. Double share. Double share. Double it. 2020 vision. What's this about? Here's what it's about. Well, let me say this. Here's the question. Double, some would say, double what? What is it that we want to double? All right, when Elisha prayed that he would get a double portion, what was it that Elisha was praying for? Double what? A double share of what? Income, more people, more resources, more life groups, more healing power. We all want more, right? But I don't think that's what Elisha was seeking after. When Elisha was praying for a double share of Elisha's spirit, meaning a double share of the essence of who Elijah was, Elisha was praying that he would be able to inherit more of what God had made Elijah out to be. And I think we can dig deeper and see more clearly what this is. This was not about Elisha asking for more miracles. We talked about that. There were 14 documented miracles that Elijah experienced. There were 28 documented miracles, double the miracles that Elisha experienced. I don't believe that that was what Elisha was seeking. Yes, Beth and I have been crying out for the Lord to heal Titus and for the Lord to reveal something here. We want his healing, and we think that, we want his healing. But here's what occurred to me, right? Sometimes I think we pray more and we desire more for the miracles, or we desire more for the answers. We desire more to see our prayers answered than we desire of God himself. We want his healing, and we think we don't need his truth. The miracle, the answer to prayer. Here's the truth, though. The miracle, the answer to prayer, is a byproduct. It's a benefit of pursuing the presence of God. When you pursue his presence, everything else takes care of itself. So when we talk about doubling it, here's what we're praying for. Here's what we need to be seeking after: more of God, more of God's presence. So I'm trying to pull my thoughts together, and we were up till 3 a.m. on Friday night, and Friday night was hellacious night. It was probably one of the top 10. It was one of the worst nights, I'll say that, ever. And he was coming off, he didn't respond well to meds, and he was coming off the steroid stuff, and I'll share more first service than I will in the second service, but he's not here, and I don't like talking about my kids and much and messages. And I owe him money when I do. So, but anyways, Friday night was just, I can't even. We were up till 3 a.m. and he was coming off the meds, coming off the steroid stuff, right? And it was just a chaos. And when you see your kids suffering and there's nothing you can do about it, it is really challenging. Yesterday I got up and yesterday was a much calmer day, and we're all trying to, pull ourselves together, because, things that were said and things, we're trying, we don't know to discipline him, or, it's just crazy. And so we watched a couple basketball games, and the other boys were out, and then I was able to get out and do my message stuff, and I was sitting in my office at work, and the Lord gave me this profound word of truth about this situation. Just a profound word of truth. And we sing about the love of God and everything that they sing about today. I could just feel that word that he gave me. And it wasn't about my family. It wasn't about Titus's condition. What it was about was this deep-seated hurt that I had for God 20 years back. Actually, longer than that, 35 years back. And this hurt and this, God exposed this gaping wound in my life. And when I can tell you the full story, and one day maybe I will, I can only say this, that I can see how God's truth is being projected in my life through what I'm dealing with. And so, I don't know, I know what many of you are dealing with, and I know part, just maybe a fraction of your hurt, your pain. I can tell you that in all of your loss and in all of your pain and whatever it is that you're seeking the answers for, if you will take a step back and allow God to speak to you, He will give you a word of truth that will bring healing that you've carried for years. I've always heard this thing that God wants, you know, we need to seek God for forgiveness. And man, God sought me last night and asking me to forgive Him. Not that He needed it, not that He deserved it, not that He wronged me in any way, but 35 years ago, I was really upset with God. And much of the anguish that I'm going through, this is going to sound really bizarre and crazy, but much of the anguish that I'm going through and the suffering that I'm dealing with, I can see it tied to what went down 35, 40 years ago. You with me here today, folks? See, we all want the answers. But I don't know. I think we'd seek the healing and think we don't need the truth. God wants us to not only seek the, ask Him for the answers, not only ask Him for the healing, but what God wants is He wants us to seek Him for truth. The truth sets us free. The truth brings healing to our lives in more profound, deeper ways than we can ever imagine. With all that said, Elisha had heard the stories. He heard all these incredible acts and experiences that Elijah had. He caused the rain to cease. He was fed by ravens. He raised the widow's son, you know, to life. He parted the Jordan. Elijah parted the Jordan. Called fire down on heaven. And when you read his story, man, when you get back into 1 Kings and you read the stories of and the exploits of Elijah, it is crazy what all happened in his life. And here's what I believe. Elisha most desired not the miracles, not the exploits. What he desired was a doubling of the presence of God. Let's look at this. 1 Kings 19. Elisha heard of this too. He heard of this story recorded in 1 Kings 19. Elijah, I'm sure, shared this with him and with others. Verse 8. Elijah. So this is years before the passing of the mantle. This is years before Elijah had even met Elisha. Here's what happened. So Elijah got up and he ate and he drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days. And here's the deal. Elijah was incredibly discouraged. I want you to understand this. Elijah was going through an incredibly difficult time. Are you here with me today? You relate to that. I relate to this. And he was sitting under this broom tree. And I wish I would have, maybe I'll pull the broom tree up for the second people and maybe post it online. I don't know. It's a crazy looking tree, man. It's in the middle of nowhere, and this broom tree, and you can Google a photo of it, and it provides a little shadow. So here Elijah, he is sitting all alone. He's under this broom tree in the middle of I was going to say BFE, but I won't say that. The DS is here this morning. But he was under this broom tree, under this shadow, and he's all alone. He's in the middle of the desert, and he's really feeling sorry for himself. He's down and out. And the angel of the Lord speaks to him, and he says this. He says, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. What was Mount Sinai? What was this? This is where Moses received the Ten Commandments, right on? This is where you know, they would send Moses up to the mount because they didn't want to, you know, it's a long story and a message in and of itself, but it's where Moses encountered God, and God handed him the two tablets, the Ten Commandments. And look at 9. There he came, and so Elijah begins to make his way there. I think symbolize. Well, we'll see this in a second. Verse 9. There he came to a cave where he spent the night, and there, what you see is this: the Lord beginning to really dig in to Elijah, really dig into him. He's suffering. He's going through a difficult time. He's lonely. He's feeling sorry for himself. I mean, he's really, and he has a lot of reason to be where he's at. But here's what I think is profound that we don't want to miss, is that Elijah puts himself in a place where he can hear from God. Last night, I was in a place where I could hear from God. Right on? That the 15-minute protocol is trying to encourage the church to put themselves in a place where they what? Hear from God. See, incredible things happen in your life when you hear from God. I don't care what you're dealing with, what you're going through, what kind of anxieties you're up against. The truth is that when you put yourself in a place where you hear from God, you have an experience like I had last night. And to be honest with you, my experience with God last night was the same as what we read about here. Look at, and I'll show you. Look. So the Lord asked this question. The Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" And we believe that the question has double implications. Believe it or not, fits real in with our doubling down, double vision, double share. There's double implications here in this question. Why had Elijah come? Why Elijah, were you there? And then the second question, did he understand the significance of the spot where he stood? The spot, everyone knew what Mount Sinai was. Mount Sinai represented the presence of God. It represented the Word of God. It represented a place where Moses was given the Word, folks. Elijah begins then to pour his heart out to God. What's cool about this is Elijah was honest with God. He was transparent. He was, we say around here, he was real. He was real. Very real. God wants you to be real. He wants to meet you right where you're at. No matter what you're dealing with, what you're going through, no matter what pains in your life, God brings you to a place where he can reveal his word to you. Elijah replied, verse 10, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. I have begun my prayers a lot like that," right? God, I've been faithful to you. Why is this happening? I'm sure Dr. Mahaffey has had that prayer a time or two in his journey in the last year and a half to 2 years with the loss of his wife. After how many years? 44 years. Sister Elaine. "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Verse 11, "Go out," this is what the Lord said, "go out and stand before me on the mountain." And the Lord told him, and Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and get this, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was as such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the what? in the wind, right? And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And folks, here's the truth. The truth is that God's answers, more times than not, they don't come in huge here's how they come. They come in ways that sometimes we don't think they're going to come. Check this out. Here's how it came. And after the fire, there was a sound of what? A gentle whisper. God didn't speak to him in the wind. God didn't speak to him in the earthquake. God didn't speak to him with the fire. God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. An old saint that I grew up with, Hazel Ashburn, who was a matriarch of the West Carrollton Church, the church where we came from, would stand up and testify. And I was very little when I heard this. I remember her saying that she wanted to be so close to God that she could hear God whisper. Thank you, Lord. When you put yourself in a position to hear his gentle whisper, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I am zealously serving the Lord God Almighty." And he pours out his heart again, right? Verse 15, "Then the Lord told him, 'Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint this king,'" right? And then verse 16, "and anoint," this is Jehu the king, and then "anoint Elisha," right, "to replace him as your prophet." And then he speaks to him this profound word. "You have no reason to be upset. There are still 7,000 men that have not turned their back on me." That was what he was worried about, him being all alone. Elisha heard of these exploits with Elijah, and Elisha wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. And what he had and what he carried with him was not all the miracles. It was not all the experiences. It was not all the answers to his prayers or the exploits. What he had was a double share of the presence of God. He wanted a double share of this experience where he could hear God whisper. He wanted to live, walk, and dwell within the presence of the Lord. So I'm asking you this morning, are you chasing the miracle or are you chasing God? The Lord wants you to pursue his presence, to pursue the essence of who God is and who God is making you out to be. And when you do that, people are going to want to gravitate to you and seek after you for answers. I want to close here with this. I want to close with two verses of Scripture, two out of two different places. And in doing that, if Brandon and Rick, you guys come up now if you would. Here's the challenge. Romans 11 says this. It says this. Romans 11, verse 2. Says that, "No, God has not rejected his own people," meaning God has not withheld his portion or his share or his presence, "whom he chose from the very beginning." Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? It says, Elijah the prophet complained. Now, this is in Romans, the New Testament, talking about this. It says, Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down the altars. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." In verse 4, and do you remember God's reply? He said, "No, I have 7,000 others who have not bowed down to Baal," right? God is giving them a word of truth here. Verse 5, "It is the same today," Paul writes in Romans, "it is the same today for a few people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. Folks, here's what I want to say to you this morning, is God has chosen you. He's chosen you. He's chosen you to receive of His undeserved kindness and favor. He's chosen you to receive a double share, a double portion of His presence in your life. In verse 6, and since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is. Free and undeserved, praise God. It is free and undeserved. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But here's the bad news. This is the bad news. Most of the people have not found, verse 7, have not found the favor of God. Are you hearing me? Most people have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones that God has chosen and the ones that have responded to His choosing. All of you are chosen. We're all chosen. But the hearts of the rest were hardened. Is your heart hardened? Are you hardened? I'm not going to be hardened, folks. I want all that God wants for me. Jesus says this in John 14. Let's all stand. John 14, this is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So this morning, I believe that God is calling us just to evaluate where we're at, where our hearts are at, where, what is it that we're pursuing? Are we pursuing the fullness of God? Are you pursuing His answers, His experiences, His miracles? Or are you pursuing His presence, more of Him? Lord, help us today. So, Father, I don't know where or what you want us to do with this morning. I had a vision last night that you just wanted me to ask a simple question. Who wants more of God? And as we ask that, and we pitch that, I felt like we need to close with a prayer asking for that double share, asking for more of you to come and live and dwell in our hearts and lives. And in that vision, I believe you spoke to me and you asked, folks, I believe the Lord spoke to me and just said, those who want more of God, I want you just to come forward and pray. Ask Him. Not for answers, not for miracles, not for great exploits, but ask God for more of Him. That's what doubling it, I think, means in 2020 for us, is more of God. Lord, I pray that you will bless this church and you will help us. We're going to close with a prayer, folks, in just a minute. But Lord, if there's anyone else here this morning, in first service, I pray that you would bring them forward as a public testimony, a demonstration of someone that's seeking after more. More of you. More of you. God, give me a double share, a double portion of your presence, of your Spirit, and of your grace. God, we pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Brandon's going to lead us in this chorus, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Mahaffey to come up, and I want Dr. Mahaffey to pray over. He's here. Praise God. Ask him to pray over us. If that would be okay, sir. Okay.
You would not allow our hearts to get hard. I think that happens when we get so busy and so turned in on ourselves, and we start wanting the things that we want and they're not bad. Man, the healing of Titus is right. And the needs in our lives are right. But sometimes we get more concerned with our stuff than you. And so I pray this morning that you would not let our hearts get hard, but that you would keep us soft and malleable, pliable, that you would keep us with our arms stretched open toward you, because you have more than just miracles. You have this relationship that is fabulous. And Lord, for me, I remember praying at like 2:30 in the morning, Lord, I need to be at home in you. I'm not home in my wife anymore. I need you to be everything for me. And it's right to love our wives and for me to miss my wife, but it's a greater call to say, Lord, I want to be at home in you. I want your arms around me. I want whatever it is that comes my way to be eclipsed by your great love in my life. And I don't mean blessing and money and stuff like that. I mean just this relationship with you. Lord, we do want a double portion of your Spirit. We want more and more and more of you. We never get to the place where we have enough. It is the one place that we should always want more. We should be greedy for you, nothing else. And so, Lord, I pray that for each of these people here. A part of my task is to keep up with churches. And, Lord, I know that last Sunday after church, there was nearly a fist fight in a church. Oh, Lord, I'm not being mean to that church, but something's gotten too hard if we're ready to hit each other. And, Lord, there's a church this morning whose pastor died of probably a brain aneurysm, and they're just kind of hurting this morning. We need more of you. We need you today desperately. And I don't know the story of each person here, but I do know what our prayer needs to be. Lord, we need you. And it wasn't just Elijah that went in a cave. I remember that Jesus went up from Capernaum early in the morning, and he went in that cave for about 9 hours. The text calls it Eremos, or the solitary place. And he was crying out to you, Lord, who is it that you want to give me as disciples? Who is it that are going to double down on who I am? And how in the world am I going to leave this calling among other people? It's exactly what Pastor Ryan's talking about here at Shelter. Lord, we need to spend some of those nights in prayer. We need those cave experiences where we're not asking you for anything selfish, but we're just saying, Lord, we need you. That's our prayer this morning. On January 19th, we're crying out. It was probably a year ago today. The weather was so bad, most churches didn't even meet. But today we're meeting, and we're crying out, and we're saying we want more of you. May your Spirit just be dumped on us. May it change who we are. May there be an evident power in us, not us, but you in us. Come, Lord Jesus, come now to each and every one of us. We need you. We cannot be the person you called us to be. We cannot be the church that you want us to be without your Spirit. Lord, help us to seek you. And you promised, when we seek you, we'll find you. That's our cry. That's our prayer. Come to these precious, priceless people. Oh, Lord, please meet the needs of their life. Please do those miracles of healings. There's nothing wrong with those. But first and foremost, we cannot be hard. We've got to be after you, passionately. That's our prayer today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their pastors. But every person is the church. Help us to never, ever forget that. Every one of us need a double portion of your Spirit. Put it on us. I pray in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.